You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers, viewers, and listeners to a brand new edition of the Pewter Report podcast, energized by Celsius, the official energy drink of the Pewter Report podcast. Happy Thursday, everybody. It's the last show of the week, but we got an absolute doozy for you because we are going to further break down the signing that Jordan Whitehead is back with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That is right. The announcement was made yesterday, right before the Pewter Report podcast, and we spent a couple of moments talking about it, and we're going to break it down further today. And yes, Jordan Whitehead is also having his press conference right around the same time, so feel free to simulcast both us and Jordan Whitehead as well. We got Scott Reynolds at PewterReport.com with boots on the ground at the Bucs facility to be there for Jordan Whitehead as we hold down the fort, as we typically do on the Pewter Report podcast. I'm your host, Matt Matera. Joined with me is my fellow co-host, Adam Slavon. Adam, how we doing?
Matt, we're doing great. And I just want to say, although it's the offseason, One Buck Place has been absolutely bumping this week. You had the Baker Mayfield press conference, obviously, yesterday. And today, yeah, with Jordan Whitehead. But also, Chase McLaughlin and Chase Edmonds, both the Chases, spoke today. Various points of the day. So it's been really busy in Buckville. A ton of news and a ton of things to get into today.
Yeah, and on top of that, we had Mike Evans there on Friday. So, the facility has been getting its use, especially the big auditorium for press conferences. Because typically, depending on, like, who it is, we've had the press conferences typically in, like, the regular press conference room where we talk to, like, Baker Mayfield and some of the other, and Todd Bowles, obviously, like during the season, but there's a little bit of construction going on, some realignments of the rooms over there for sure. So they moved some big ones into the auditorium, which has been cool to see. I mean, obviously, Mike Evans deserves to have that type of glitz and glamour to his re-signing. I think the same goes for Baker Mayfield. So yeah, it was cool being in there. I imagine Jordan Whitehead will be in that spot as well. And I'm glad they're getting it done right away. You know, like sometimes there will be a signing and a couple of weeks will go by and then we talk to the guy and that's still fun and it's great and super, super valuable. But sometimes when you get it like fresh and new right after the deal is done, I think it holds a little bit more water, which is cool to see. So really, I mean, with all the signings that the Bucs have had, I imagine like if we do have a press conference with Greg Gaines, it'll probably be a Zoom one, kind of like with the Chases. Obviously, Lavonte David, whenever he feels like strolling into Tampa, that will be a quote-unquote big auditorium type of setting. But yeah, appreciate the Bucs for setting it up on essentially a daily basis. And I love this comment from Charlie Abrahams, who says, Jason Light has been kicking ass you guys. Yeah, let's expand upon this further, Adam, because we'll talk about Jordan Whitehead in just a moment. But Jason Lay had a comment yesterday, and we spoke about it a little bit on the show, where he said this is one of the greatest hauls of all time. And I think the outside world, or maybe even some Bucks fans, kind of like pause a little bit when they look at it and say, well, you just re-signed Mike Evans and you re-signed your own guys. But like, there's no rule in the NFL that says that you can only have a good free agency by throwing tons of money at like another named player that hasn't played for your team before. I think, and I said this yesterday, but the perfect example, I think, is Saquon Barkley. You know, the Giants fans are rightfully upset that Saquon Barkley not only left, but went to the Philadelphia Eagles. Would we be sitting here if the Giants re-signed Saquon saying like, wow, the Giants didn't do anything. Like, all they did was re-sign Saquon Barkley. Like, I don't know. I think that's a pretty damn good move to do, and the Eagles got ahead of it.
Yeah, I would say Jason Light has absolutely crushed this offseason. Him as well as the Bucks front office kind of have to give him an A grade. I mean, you didn't let Baker go. Mike didn't leave. Levante's sticking around for another season. It's like, what has gone wrong in the offseason? You even brought back Jordan Whitehead. It's like, even when you're bringing somebody in, I find it funny that it's one of Jason Light's guys. He said that today, we got our guy back. But kind of looking at it, I was going to save this for later in the show. When you think of the best general managers in football, there's a few guys that come to mind, right? You have Brett Veach of the Chiefs, Howie Roseman of the Eagles, Brad Holmes of the Lions. He just got extended. But Jason Light has to be top five, right?
I think it's very, very difficult to put him outside of the discussion. I mean, year after year, what's going to knock Jason is like the first half of his tenure in Tampa Bay, you know, coming in 2014. I mean, he got it right with Mike, but even as Jason admitted, he got a lot of other things wrong. And, you know, the negative Nancys will still always say, oh, well, what about this season, this season, this season, where, like, they faltered? And, sure, there is, like, a point to be made about that. It's kind of tough to deny that look of it. But once he got, like, his feet underneath them, once he hit the ground running, I mean, hiring Bruce Arians, hiring Tom Brady, or signing Tom Brady, trading for Gronk. I know the Antonio Brown thing went haywire, but bringing in so
it
much
worked out while it did.
And trading for JPP, signing Shaq Barrett, like the list goes on and on and on. Re-signing Ndamukong Suh after that year, re-signing Mike and Chris, even though they had just won a championship and all these great things happened. He's done a lot of great things, and it's no surprise that the Bucks in the NFC have made the postseason consecutively more than any other team right now, which is crazy to think. More than the Rams, more than, you know, Seattle, like all of these different teams that you look at them and say, oh, they've been a winner for a while. But no, it's been the Bucks who have been at the top of it. And it hasn't always been pretty, you know, winning the division at 8-9. I think a lot of people get angry at, and then winning last season at 9-8.
Yeah.
It's easy to say, oh, well, you know, start winning double-digit games and things like that. And if that happens this season, then only add to his resume a little bit more. And Ed Gain here says two words, Joe Tryon. Sure. I mean, every general manager isn't always going to have a great draft pick. I'll give you two words after that, Ed Gain. Yaya Diaby. he started making up for it with that's another thing that I think is a credit to Jason, is that he will understand that he made a mistake and then go and try to correct that mistake almost instantly. And he's done that in the past with certain positions, and I think he's doing it right now at outside linebacker.
Yeah, and I think just as a whole, when you look at Jason Light's resume and draft picks, especially in recent years, it's really added just stability to the organization. Like going from Tom Brady and all the veterans that you mentioned to a young core, it's really been seamless. A lot of teams would have had to rebuild, let go of a lot of guys, really start from the studs. But they already have a foundation, and they're only adding to it. And one of the pieces that they are adding, getting back to Jordan Whitehead, is someone that is a sure tackler and a consistent playmaker. And I also find it funny that he went to Pittsburgh, right? And you have Clyde Buchansie, Servasio Dennis, and now Jordan Whitehead. Could the Bucks maybe have three Pitt starters on defense, like another college pipeline? But with Jordan Whitehead, really solid player, he's a level-headed person that's just going to add a lot of production at that strong safety spot where they didn't get it last year.
Yeah, let's hold that thought on Jordan Whitehead for just a moment, because we got a super chat from Devin G. Thank you, Devin, for this $1.99 super chat, who says, Josh Sweat for a third or the best edge at 26? This is a really good question, man. So I appreciate it, along with the super chat. And we spoke about Josh Sweat yesterday on the show, because it does look like he's going to be available. And it does help because the Bucks have that extra third round pick that they got with the trade of Carlton Davis. I still think going with an edge would be the better move. Normally I'm for an established guy already. I just don't know if Josh Sweat is necessarily the type of established, and I'll put that in quotes, established player that the Bucks necessarily want. And I think they have an influx of youth. It would make sense to bring in a veteran type of player, but I don't know. Something in my gut is just telling me to go take an edge rusher. If the right edge rusher is there at 26, if Jackson Powers Johnson is there at center, go and take him and then figure out edge rusher later. But you already have it. I know people don't like JTS, and Anthony Nelson very much is a, you know, third string type of player. But if JTS is your third string and Anthony Nelson is your fourth string, and you got Marquise Watts waiting in the wing, I don't hate that the biggest issue at outside linebacker for the Bucks is just figuring out who's going to be your second outside linebacker. I think there are many worse problems to have for teams in general than that type of situation. So I think you take a crack at what you can get with the 26th pick. So that would be my choice. Yeah. Adam, your thoughts?
I agree with that assessment. It would depend on, like, who is there. If Latu from UCLA is there, or if they trade up and maybe get Jared Verse at, like, 20 or 21, okay, there's some reason in going that route. But Josh Sweat is also a very intriguing name just for the production that he's had the past 2 years. Really has developed into his own as a double-digit sack guy. But it would all also depend on, would the Bucks sign him to a long-term deal? They've kind of opened some cap flexibility with the moves that they've made, but would they take a bet on somebody like that? Now, the Bucks did have interest in him before he was drafted. I think they had like a formal meeting with him or a top 30. So the interest is there. They've done their background on him. He could be an option for a third round pick, like adding that production into the room and maybe, like you said, kind of bumping everybody down a peg. That does have a lot of value if they target somebody like JPJ with number 26.
Now, a guy you've written about a little bit and have spoken to in the locker room is Marquise Watts. And I find him a very intriguing player for the Bucks this season because we saw what he did last year, got some good pass rushing moves, helped lead lead to an interception or a turnover, at least, in the game against the Titans because he got to the quarterback so quickly that it was essentially a pop fly for the secondary. He dominated in the preseason when it was fourth string against fourth string and fifth string against fifth string. The reason Todd Bowles didn't play him more is because he needed to learn more of the defense. And I think that was just kind of a way of saying he doesn't really trust him on first and second down. So obviously coming into another season, he gets to hit the weight room, get stronger, another season into the playbook. What are your thoughts, Adam, about we'll see what happens in terms of, finding that outside linebacker too, or whatever the case may be. But your thoughts on just giving Marquise Watts a little bit more playing time, or even just designating him as a third down guy to just kind of fill out that room a little bit more?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really like Marquise Watts' potential. He's still raw as a player. But like you mentioned, being a third down specialist, kind of see him taking that Bryce Huff route, you know, with the Jets and just being that guy that gets after the quarterback. He showed it, like you mentioned, in the Titans game when he took down Will Levis and Levis just had to throw up the ball to Antoine. Yeah. It's like Watts can do it, and getting an offseason under his belt, learning the system and what Todd Bowles does, he could really take off next year and definitely could see him maybe getting 20, 30% of the snaps, if not more, maybe replacing Anthony Nelson, because While you know what you have in Nelson, you don't yet know what you have in Marquise Watts. Could he maybe take that leap and become that number two edge rusher? You really don't know until you play him.
Yeah. But
with that being said, I do think there needs to be another guy brought into the room, whether that's a first or a second round pick, or maybe, hey, somebody like Josh Sweat.
I feel like with so many players at all positions, not even just like outside linebacker, but I guess in this case, we're talking about Marquise Watts specifically, there seems to always be this feel of like, oh, he's not ready yet. He's not ready yet. He's not ready yet. Just wait until he's ready and he'll be good to go. And then it's like, damn, man, like the time has passed. He's ready by now. And I understand the fear of lack of experience might create a situation a little bit that you would worry. But I don't know. I also kind of feel like, hey, just put him in there. That's how he's going to get experience. That's how he's going to get reps and things of that nature. I don't see the harm in playing him a little bit more to where it's not to the detriment of the Buccaneers. And then you find out, yeah, maybe you have the next Bryce Huff. Maybe you have a guy that has one or two great moves, and when he gets that done, he's going to be an issue for opposing offenses when they have third and long. And the Bucs have done a good job on defense of getting into third and long situations. They just haven't always gotten the stop there when it comes to third and long or just getting off the field on third down. Now, one guy that is going to really try to help curb that and get the opponent into more third and longs, of course, is the return of Jordan Whitehead. That news came out yesterday, a little bit before the Pewter Report podcast, so we touched on it a bit. But the news, it's a two-year deal for Jordan Whitehead, and apparently his press conference just finished up not too long ago. I can't find my cell phone. That's all right. I don't need it right now. It's a two-year deal worth $9 million and has a max of $10.5 million. So that's about $4.5 million per season. There were projections on Pro Football Focus and various websites that had Jordan Whitehead at like $6 million per season. So not that every team goes off the projection of a salary cap guru from a website. Not that it's supposed to be the exact dollars and cents, but if you're getting, you know, $1.5 million difference less than what everyone kind of thought you were going to have to pay for a player of the caliber of Jordan Whitehead, I think this is a really good deal for the Buccaneers. I think the familiarity more than anything else is uber, uber important for this defense, kind of getting back on track to where it was a couple of seasons ago. At times, it could still be a crazy, crazy productive unit, and I think you can look at that playoff game against the Eagles as a perfect example of that type of situation. So, Adam, just your overall thoughts on, I know you talked about it a little bit, but your view of the signing of Jordan Whitehead and just how the Bucs look moving forward.
Yeah, my first thought is, hey, the Bucs recruiting efforts really paid off, didn't they? With Rashad White, you know, being the GM, saying, hey, we got to bring this guy back in. And it speaks to what Whitehead brings when all the Bucs players, they're going to social media saying, hey, I got my twin back. I got my big bro back. We're gonna create havoc on the defense next season. But for Jordan Whitehead, just the value signing that this was for the Bucs. Because I look at another safety in the NFL, Xavier McKinney. He just got $17 million a year from the Packers. Jordan Whitehead's not that much of a downgrade. He's still a very, very much a starting caliber safety in the NFL. And like I said before, just really consistent and also having that chemistry playing alongside Antoine Winfield Jr. Bringing in a safety, they wanted somebody that knows like how to like navigate and play his role. Who else better than somebody that's played with Antoine Winfield Jr. and that's already been established? So with Jordan Whitehead, really like the signing. Think it checks a lot of boxes and what the Bucs wanted in that opposite safety. And it also doesn't preclude the Bucs from maybe, hey, getting another safety in the draft or even making cornerback a bigger need. And you know what you have? You can have Izzy in as maybe that third safety behind both of them and then maybe getting another outside corner.
Yeah, I am curious how they will fill out the rest of that room, even before the draft. I guess what I'm more curious about is what do they do with Christian Isian? Do they keep him as the starting nickel? Do they try to put him at safety and, you know, just have great depth behind Winfield and Whitehead for that matter? That kind of remains to be seen because he was a little bit all over the place last year, Christian Isian. So curious if they'll just kind of keep him in one spot. Regardless of what they do with Izzy, and if they decide to put him at corner, which is kind of the other decision they can make, I don't mind the depth behind Whitehead and Winfield because you still have Kayvon Merriweather back there, who I think was solid, you know, in his role. I don't expect him to be a Pro Bowler anytime soon, but I think he brings some substance to that room over at safety. I also want to know if Jordan Whitehead, is he going to wear number 33 again, or will he wear three that he wore with the Jets? Because, you know, Russell Gage was the one wearing three, but he obviously is no longer on the team. So number three is open. You could make the case, oh, well, that's what I wore last time that I was on the Bucs. I won a Super Bowl with the Bucs. I'm going to go back to 33. But he could also look at this as, I'm in a new era. This is my second stint with the Bucs. Like, this is a new me, so I'm going to rock number three instead, where I got more interceptions. I'm curious on that. Interesting, because his name is Jordan, because Michael Jordan, when he went back to the Bulls, he wore 45. But then, then he eventually went back to 23. I don't know if Jordan Whitehead will necessarily do that. Darius Miller says, if he's smart and wants to sell more jerseys, he would do number three. That's not a bad idea either. But I love the physicality that Jordan Whitehead is going to bring to this team, because in the secondary, the Bucs had it a little bit with Keanu Neal, but Neal was more of a straight-up backup and would have spot moments where he'd be in the game, where Whitehead's going to be on the field the whole time. Bringing the physicality and improving the run game, I mean, the Bucs, they're not the run-stopping defense they were, you know, back in 2020 and 2021 or anything like that. With that said, I think they're still a solid run-stopping team, but I do think there were times last season where big moments happened where the running back got to the secondary or second level and then to the third level where the secondary is. And you watch plays like that, and if Jordan Whitehead's in there, I don't know if a 10-yard run is a 10-yard run or if it becomes like a 5-yard run, maybe even a 2-yard run, depending on where Jordan Whitehead is on the field. So I think he's going to be a big reason why the run stopping game really gets back on track to what it was, I want to say, like 3 seasons ago. And just the overall physicality to provide a spark for a team when they may need it in the middle of the game. Because I think at times, you know, this Bucs defense is good, it's talented, but every team, every needs a pick-me-up here and there. And I think Jordan Whitehead is the guy that can naturally provide one just by making a big hit, having a big moment. Turnovers in general obviously provide a spark, but when you're not getting that turnover and you got to look somewhere else, or you gotta find something within you, laying a big hit usually does the trick.
Yeah, that's a great point, Matt. And I just want to add to that by saying Next Gen Stats, they came out with some numbers that Jordan Whitehead reposted on X, and he had 32 run stuffing tackles, which led all defensive backs last season. Just kind of speaking on, like, Antoine Winfield, he's great at everything, right? He can stop the run, blitz, do whatever. But Jordan Whitehead also adding that value as well, grading out well in coverage, mentioned being a solid tackler, and then also affecting the run game. Like, these are aspects that win football games. And again, it just really speaks to the value that Jordan Whitehead will bring to the defense.
Good comment here from G. Vegas, who says, going to need Whitehead to ball out since Devin won't be back, and having an experienced safety coming back to be behind an inexperienced player for Britt or Dennis. I agree with this to a degree, G. Vegas. I think we got to remember that Devin got benched towards the end of last season. So, I don't know. If they figured it out last year with KJ Britt and JJ Russell, I think they'll be able to figure it out this year with, you know, a whole training camp under their belt with Devin White not there. And they'll have Levante David right next to him, and I think that's important communication. But I do think overall it helps having Jordan Whitehead back there. I don't think it'll take too long for him to kind of build that communication between the two, really. So I don't see it as becoming too much of an issue.
Yeah, I don't see him needing to ball out more so than just being a solid presence in the room, not only in the secondary room, but just like in the defense in general. When you have, like, maybe replacing Devin White's energy to a degree, you know, like he's in the huddle doing the pregame warmups. Sure. Yeah, kind of being that guy, but more so just, you know, being that presence, being that guy that can hold it down. And that's what the Bucks need. They need somebody that can hold down the fort.
Changing subjects a little bit, but we're happy to do that because if you super chat us, we get to whatever you want to talk about. So thanks to Paul Bowen for the $1.99 super chat, who says, what are some running back targets that fit the Bucks, draft or free agency? Well, the signing of Chase Edmonds, I think, kind of is the most that the Bucks will do with free agency. I'm very curious in terms of running back. Very curious about AJ Dillon. I think he's still available and what that would kind of mean for the Bucks running back room. So I think the draft is probably where the Bucks would go. We spent a little bit on yesterday's show talking about it, but I like Kamani Vidal out of Troy. I think he would be big. Ray Davis obviously has an understanding of the offense with Liam Cohen. However, it's not always a fit. Like, you got to meet with some of the other people and things like that. So Vidal is one. The running back from USC, who I'm forgetting his name at the moment.
Marshawn Lloyd?
Yeah, Marshawn Lloyd. He met with the Bucs, so I think that would be a nice fit as well. But I do think the draft is probably the main way the Bucs are going to look at the rest of the running back group.
I would agree with that. And I would also say that there's other needs other than running back that the Bucs have to address first. So maybe somebody like Vidal in like the sixth or seventh round, like kind of a day three guy, might be more of a realistic option. But there's also another guy Chase Edmonds talked about a little bit today, Sean Tucker, you know, maybe taking that next step like Marquise Watts in year two and going from an undrafted rookie to somebody who can maybe see some playing time. Kind of has that build of an AJ Dillon. I mean, he's a stocky guy. He'll break some tackles, but want to get your thoughts. Is running back really a need when you have Sean Tucker in the room? Like, kind of like maybe being that up and coming guy to pair with Rashad White and Edmonds.
So before the combine, I would have been okay with White, Edmonds, and Sean Tucker heading into next season. But at the combine, and you were there too, Jason Light did not have a ringing endorsement for Sean Tucker. And he pretty much said he has to have a good camp. And I kind of took that as, if he doesn't perform, he very likely could get cut. I mean, remember, he was an undrafted free agent. He doesn't have a guaranteed spot on this team. And I think it's even more to the detriment of Sean Tucker if they sign another veteran free agent running back. So he better be hoping that they just look at running back in the draft, because that way he has a better spot or better shot to stay on this roster, or at least I think Sean Tucker, maybe they would give him another opportunity to be on the practice squad or something like that. I don't really know what the issue was with Sean Tucker. Obviously, like, he got a slow start. There was the whole medical situation where he couldn't practice for a while, but I thought he looked solid in the preseason. There was a knock that he couldn't pass block too well, but to be honest with you, that's an issue with a lot of running backs. Yeah. Like, that's not just specific to Sean Tucker. I thought he ran solid in the preseason and then never really had a start in the not like a start, just even like a shot or an opportunity in the regular season. So I don't know what went wrong with Sean Tucker other than like behind the scenes stuff that we just don't know about, or certain performances that — what are you doing, dude? Sorry, I'm watching the St. John's game. They got to make sure they win this game to help their chances getting into the March Madness tournament. But anyway, so I don't know what the issue was with Sean Tucker. Let's get to this super chat from Joey Frazier. Thank you, Joey, for the $4.99 super chat. Who says, are we in need of a wide receiver three, or can Trey Palmer fit that role? Would someone like Hunter Renfrow or KJ Osborne be a good idea, or is that even feasible? Joey, it's very funny you say that, because when I was building my Bucks battle plan, I had some long thoughts about wide receiver three. I like Trey Palmer. I do not think he's ready to be wide receiver three yet. I don't think he should be given that role without the Bucs looking at other options or even drafting a wide receiver within the first three rounds, because I think that guy could really make a conversation for it as well. It's funny because Hunter Renfrow just got cut, and I thought to myself, Hunter Renfrow in this Bucs offense, that would be kind of interesting. Another player that I threw out there, I mean, I put him in my Bucs battle plan because I did look at KJ Osborne. He played for the Vikings, had that third wide receiver role. Noah Brown of the Texans was a guy that I put on my Bucs battle plan. I'm not sure if I think he might have signed somewhere over the past couple of days. I'm not 100% sure, but if he's still available, I liked him for the Bucs for a couple of reasons. He'd be going into another situation where he's used to being the third guy. I mean, with Houston, he was that last year, even with two rookie wide receivers. He got over 500 receiving yards in about 12 to 14 games. So put up really good production for the amount of time that he played. If you're wide receiver three in this Bucs offense, when you have 2,000-yard wide receivers, if your next receiver is over 500 yards, that's really good. Like, that's pretty good for this team. And he can go deep down the field. One of, like, the good things he did with the Texans was he could go deep and C.J. Stroud could buy a little bit of time and just chuck it deep, and Noah Brown would be there to kind of make the play. I'm not saying he just should be on this team to be a Hail Mary type of guy, even though we saw the Bucs get into a controversial Hail Mary play last season. I just think if Chris Godwin moves to the slot, bam, you put Noah Brown on the outside, and there you go. And you just add overall speed to this team, which I think is good. So Noah Brown, I think, would be a nice fit as wide receiver three on this team if it comes on the cheap. So to answer the question, I think Trey Palmer can play into that role. I just definitely not at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, would have to agree with you there. I like the thought process behind Noah Brown, like just kind of being that outside receiver, putting Godwin back into the slot.
Yeah.
If that were the case, it kind of rules out somebody like Renfrow, who I like a lot. Had one really good season with the Raiders where he was just catching everything.
Yeah.
And when you look at Trey Palmer, for a sixth round pick last year, he really outperformed his draft status. He played like a mid-round guy. But can you trust him to be that wide receiver three, or do you go along the veteran route? The Bucs tried it with Russell Gage. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. But, you know, dive back into the well, or if not a free agent, this is one of the deepest wide receiver class, maybe like ever, you know? Like, there's 12 wide receivers that could be taken in the first two or three rounds. So you at least have to kick the tires on maybe getting somebody that slips and still has a ton of potential.
Yeah, I'm fully with that. I think the problem for Trey Palmer, really more than anything, was consistency.
Yeah.
Needed a little bit more consistency to his game. But let me tell you this. When it comes to energy drinks, there is one that is always consistent, that is always reliable, and always fantastic. And I think you know I'm talking about Celsius Energy Drinks, the official energy drink of the Pewter Report podcast. Check out their newest line of Celsius, which is the Celsius Essentials. They are the tall boy cans. They're a little bit bigger. They have 270 milligrams of caffeine, and they are awesome. You can get the Blue Crush. That's one of their flavors. Oh, what are you doing? You can get the Dragonberry as well. A lot of great flavors. If you want some of the original flavors of Celsius Energy, you can get the Fuji Apple Pear, the Strawberry Lemonade, Cucumber Lime, Tropical Vibe, and of course my favorite, the Arctic Vibe. So if you need to know where to find a Celsius Energy drink, go to the Celsius store locator, punch in your address, and it'll tell you the closest place where you can pick one up. Could be a Walmart, Target, health and fitness store, 7-Eleven, or your bodega.
Bodega.
And once you keep going to your bodega and you know you love Celsius and you want more of it, that's when you go to Amazon, click on the subscribe and save, get it in bulk, get that variety pack because variety is the spice of life. Have it sent to your place of residence whenever you want. Could be a week, month, quarterly, yearly. You're in charge. You're the captain now. Just make sure you're drinking Celsius energy drinks. Celsius, the official energy drink of the Pewter Report podcast. I had another good comment from Paul, who said Cosmic Vibe is pretty good too. Yeah, I mean, you cannot go wrong with with a flavor of Celsius energy drinks. That's just a proven fact. Yeah. So shout out to Celsius. Shout out to Baker Mayfield as well. I know we spent some time talking about his press conference yesterday, but we have a lot more video that we didn't even get to. So we want this to be kind of an exclusive for the Peter people watching this show today. But before we get to some of those videos, Adam, you were in attendance with me. Just give me your thoughts about what went down when Baker was in front of the media.
Got to say, it was a really enjoyable press conference with a little back and forth that Baker and Jason Light had. Jason Light kind of chiming in with some funny comments about there being no state tax and Baker Mayfield's toughness. But with Baker Mayfield, Tampa is really his home now. Like, the next couple seasons, he's really signed through 2025. He could even play in 2026. Obviously, they might restructure his deal, but he's really made it his place. Hanging out with his teammates, like getting to know the city, the community. He's finally in a stable environment. And that only can mean good things, right? He can only trend upward. After having some ups and downs going from Cleveland to Carolina to LA, there's a lot of doubt about whether he could even be a starting quarterback. He really proved everybody wrong last year. And when you bring back Mike Evans, you have Chris Godwin, you might add another wide receiver or a tight end. He's either going to have a similar year to last year, I think, or maybe even takes it up a level, playing with an offensive coordinator that he kind of knows and is familiar with. So, like, taking his comments in stride, he's really embraced Tampa, and I feel like Tampa has embraced him, and everything just kind of lined up. Like, with the circumstances of the Bucs moving from Brady, him looking for a home, and he has it now.
Yeah, I really liked what Jason Light said yesterday about not many people could come in and replace Tom Brady or really want to be the guy to be the quarterback after Tom Brady. And sure, some of it was Baker didn't really have many other options, but I think Baker also had the right mentality, the right amount of confidence that made him the proper guy for the job. And Adam, you had written a story about Baker talking about kind of getting to plant his roots in Tampa and kind of like be here for quite a while and full time. This is what Baker had to say about the Tampa Bay community.
A weight lifted off of our shoulders from the traveling journey that we've been on the last couple of years. For us, knowing how much we truly loved being here. And throughout the whole process, we thought we were going to call this place home in the offseason regardless. That's how much we fell in love with just the community, the city overall, and truly enjoyed living here. So a weight lifted off our shoulders, but just knowing that we can settle in and truly make a difference, whether it's with the organization and throughout the community, that we can truly be rooted and kind of a boots on the ground mentality to make a difference and see that through. It's a special feeling. It's a special place. I came into this place not really knowing what the community was like, hearing that it's a hockey town, even though they were coming off the Super Bowl. So just seeing the passionate fans, the ones that talk about going to the old Sombrero, the ones that have been fans for a long time, that have stuck through thick and thin, that's what makes it special. The people that are traditional fans, obviously we always welcome new ones, but the ones that have been here for the long haul make it really special. And so for Emily and I, we started our foundation last year, and just being able to, like I said earlier, boots on the ground mentality, making a difference in the community, for us, this is a great opportunity to do that. And knew nothing about it, but it's a laid-back city, but people are really, really passionate about their sports, and it gives us the opportunity to truly make a difference in the long run.
And, of course, that journey for Baker, going from Cleveland to Carolina to L.A., then with the Bucs, has been very well documented, but Baker spoke about it a little bit more yesterday.
My journey's not been the one that I exactly envisioned. A lot of ups and downs, but just trusting it. Adversity, how you handle it is really a true test of character. And so for me, trying to relate it to some of the things I did from high school having a walk-on, to college having a battle for a job, losing a job in Cleveland, going to Carolina, having to move to LA, and just all those things, you realize mental toughness can take you a long way. And just trusting yourself, you know, believing in yourself, having that confidence, and, you know, trusting God that you have everything you're capable of, and you have it all right there available for you. So just go do that and be the best version of yourself. So for me, this was a good place that it's already shown me that I can do that.
Now, it's funny how the timing really added up with all of this, because the Bucks needed to sign not just Baker, but Mike Evans as well. And yeah, they're talking to both guys separately, but you got to think that there was some conversation between Mike and Baker during this whole process. Kind of, sort of, a little bit more when it got down to the wire of it all. This is what Baker had to say about him having conversations with Mike Evans about doing their thing once again.
That Mike Evans was going to be back. How much of a factor was that?
I truly didn't know Mike was going to be back until he signed. I was actually out of town, and Mike called me, and he said, are we doing this or what? And that was a couple days before they announced that he was signing back. So obviously he's a big part of that. Now, in terms of Tristan, we were sitting at lunch when I got the call. So I was there with Emily and his girlfriend, Meredith. They're 1 week apart, due date-wise. And so the big dog's back in the corner right there, one of my best friends now. And just knowing that we have that relationship, obviously Luke's in here as well. But it, just how close I became with these guys, it became a huge factor in the decision. Knowing that I'm going to fight for them and they're going to fight for me, that's a big thing for them. It's a great group.
All right. I know it's very, very, very early in this this whole situation, Adam. But moves have been made in the NFC South. Falcons got Kirk Cousins. Bucks made a lot of re-signings. Saints haven't done jack squat. And they lost Jameis Winston, so they've lost entertainment value as well.
Yeah, outside.
Panthers have kind of been all over the place. They obviously traded Brian Burns, but they also did a lot with like their defensive line otherwise. It feels like it's going to be the Bucs and the Falcons, at least early on paper. Very long way to go. We get it.
Yeah, I would say so.
Why are people doubting the Bucs still, I guess, is what I'm saying.
That's a great question. And something Jason Light mentioned, like at the press conference, like, hey, the national media needs to know that we have great players, right? We have Mike Evans, we have Levante David, like put some respect on our name. But continuously, maybe it's just that Tom Brady is left. And before Tom Brady, the Bucks were kind of maybe seen as irrelevant by the national media, but this is still a very competitive team. And if you were a betting man, you would have to take the Buccaneers, right? They've won the division. They've been in the playoffs the past few seasons. The Falcons, they got a big upgrade at quarterback. There's no doubt about it. And Kirk Cousins, Kirk O'Chains, you know, with the Coles cash. But yeah. There's a lot of needs for that team as well to be filled, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Like, they're kind of lacking some star power there. On offense, they still have a lot to get right, going from Arthur Smith implementing a new offensive scheme. So the bet has to be on the Bucs. But the Falcons are close behind. The Saints, they're going to do Saint things, you know, maybe finish around 500. And the Panthers, they spent $153 million on two offensive linemen.
Yeah.
They're going to be rebuilding for a little bit yet.
Yes, they are. Now, you said if I were a betting man. Well, I am a betting man. So there are a lot of great things to bet on. You can put some money right now on your Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win the NFC South and to get into the playoffs. You also got March Madness coming up. Hopefully, my St. John Red Storm, the Johnnies, will be playing in March Madness. They just had a big win this afternoon over Seton Hall. They play UConn next in the Big East tournament. But that big win today helps them get into the March Madness tournament. We'll see if they get in. But anyway, shout out to the Johnnies. If you want to bet on St. John's or March Madness or the Bucks or really any sport that's going on right now, such as the NBA and the NHL. I know the Lightning play against the Rangers tonight. Sly's Milwaukee Bucks play against the Philadelphia 76ers. And I got to give a shout out to Stephen Che for this pick. Damian Lillard, Dame time, over 36 and a half points, rebounds, and assists combined. So shout out to Stephen Che. Trust the data on that one. Anyway, if you want to go and make all of these picks or do whatever type of bet you want to, go ahead and do it over at mybookie.ag. Use the promo code Pewter. That's P-E-W-T-E-R. A lot of great sports to bet on right now. We're in the conference tournaments for all of college basketball. I'm staring at a TV right now that has three more games coming up, including Creighton, Providence, Marquette, Villanova, and Colorado, Utah. So there is a wealth of things to bet on. And if you like playing at the casino, you can go to MyBookie's online casino, play right from your couch, play all the great games such as roulette, blackjack, craps, do the slots, war, different card games, poker, all that great stuff. Their online casino is a lot of fun. So check out mybookie.ag. Get free money in your account when you sign up with the promo code Pewter, P-E-W-T-E-R. Even if you learn from Plant City Mad, you know that that is a heck of a deal. So one more time, go to mybookie.ag. Use that promo code Pewter. That's P-E-W-T-E-R. Let's get to a couple more videos from Baker Mayfield. We got two more to play. Might play the prick video again. So last year was a renaissance season for Baker Mayfield. What made it so good? Why did he have his best year of his NFL career? This is what he had to say about it.
Last year, hitting some career highs, your perfect game against Green Bay. What led to last year being, in terms of personal, professional growth, your best season? And how can you take your game to new heights this year?
From the very beginning, organization made me comfortable and saying, be the best version of yourself. And as a quarterback, somebody that you always have eyes on you, there's no other words that can make you feel more welcome than that. And so for me, just trying to, you know, do little things right. And once the play is there, then you can really let the energy, the character, and all that rub off on everybody else. And so for me, just knowing that if you play good ball and trust the guys around you, good things will happen. And so for me, coming back on this process, looking at system-wise, that was a big reason why I had a lot of success. I think it does do a really good job of, you know, showing my skills and some of my traits. And obviously, being able to work with Liam in the past, obviously, it was a short stint, but knowing that we have a good relationship and knowing how he's going to push me and push everybody else to get on the same page. Obviously, Thad's in here, Thad Lewis, our QB coach as well, knowing that we have that room that we're bringing back, and we can really control this thing and control the ship.
You know what? Since it's Thursday, it's our last show of the week, we're going to play the Jason Light video again, where he called Baker Mayfield a prick, but he meant it in a very endearing way.
Obviously, Baker's got a strong arm, very talented quarterback, leadership ability off the charts. But his toughness, mental and physical toughness, the reason why you guys have been in the playoffs 4 years in a row, your starting quarterback has not missed a single start. 3 years with Brady, last year with Baker. He was hurt, but battled through that. How much does toughness, Baker's mental and physical toughness, mean to this organization and to you as a talent evaluator?
Well, it means everything. He set the tone for this team with his, for lack of a better word, he's probably a 1 out of 10. He's a 10 on the prick scale. So, sorry.
Thank you. I'll take that.
So it's like that's what you want your offensive lineman. Baker's kind of an offensive lineman in a quarterback's body. So it's what's rallied this team this year. He's a big part of it.
Brian S. with a funny comment says Jason wears the same blue color suit for every press conference he does. I didn't notice that, but now that you say it, I'm pretty sure he does pretty much wear that. I don't know what he wore today for Jordan Whitehead, but maybe it's the same thing. But now I'm gonna pay a little bit more attention to that.
If it's not broke, don't fix it, though.
It worked. Maybe it's a lucky blue jacket or something like that. He was able to re-sign everybody else, so don't mess with with the good vibes that they got going on. This last video, I thought it was a good question by a reporter. I actually didn't know who he was. He's not there like typically. He's also wearing an Oklahoma hat, so that was cool. Boomer Sooner. One thing that Baker Mayfield has not had in his career is an offensive coordinator for 2 seasons in a row, which I would imagine makes it very difficult to succeed as a quarterback in the NFL. Now, this is the second time working with this offensive coordinator in Liam Cohen. Only had a brief time with Liam Cohen, but obviously they had a lasting impact on each other. This is what he had to say about it.
When you look at, you kind of addressed on the last couple questions, but I was wondering, your NFL career, you haven't had an offensive coordinator back-to-back years. It's been kind of insane, and yet
you're able to. Yeah.
And obviously you're not going to this year, but you have worked with Liam. Given this contract and seeing where the Bucs are at this point, what do you think, a second year, or even to a third year, you talked about the room being the same, how much are you looking forward to that and to continuing to grow?
That's a huge factor, to know the things that we did well last year and the things that we want to improve. You know the starting point, and you do have to, I think that's the tricky part, you have to go back to the basics, you have to start from day one. If you act like you haven't figured it out from the beginning, you're doing it wrong. So you have to start back from scratch. But at the same time, we know the pieces. We know the things that we're really good at on offense, just knowing that it's a similar system. And so for us, being able to grow in that and continue to push each other, how we operate week to week during the off season as well as in season, it's a huge thing to have the routines with your guys and know that if there's something that I need from that room, everybody in there is willing to do it, and likewise. So it's when you know the people that you're working with, you can fight for them even harder, just knowing who they are as people.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about another legend in Tampa Bay, of course, Lavonte David. Adam, let's get your thoughts about the contract, the signing, all that great stuff about a great, great man and a great, great player, Lavonte David.
Yeah, I'm really glad that Lavonte got, I believe, $10 million with $9 million being guaranteed, if I'm not mistaken, just getting his payday, you know, getting his due. I think it's a very worthy contract for a very worthy player. And just seeing him stick around in Tampa Bay for a 13th season, it's huge. It's huge for the locker room. It's huge for the team, the defense. Todd Bowles doesn't have to worry about one inside linebacker position because you know what? He has Lavonte David there holding down the fort. So Lavonte David, it's just great seeing him back in Tampa Bay as a veteran leader. You always know what you have in him. He's the definition of a steady Eddie, as Todd Bowles might say. But what else can be said? Lavonte, he really deserves his flowers as one of this generation's most underrated linebackers.
He does. And I think the fact that he's only been with one team, like he seems to always kind of get compared to Bobby Wagner. And I think now that Bobby Wagner's with like yet another team, but Lavonte continues to stay with the same team, it shows like how much he means to the Bucs, how much the Bucs care about him. Jason Light said he wants him to get on the Bucs Mount Rushmore. I think he might need like two more seasons to do that.
Cause yeah.
Something about, cause this will be his 14th season, if I'm not mistaken. It's either his 13th or 14th season. Actually, I'll look it up real quick. But something about just getting to 15.
It's a nice number with one team.
Exactly. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, so this is 13th season. So we need to play. Wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, 2023 was his 12th season. So this will be year 13. Okay, so we'd have to play three more seasons. I don't know if he's going to get to 15, but I think he can play at least two more seasons. But the Bucs needed him back in the linebacker room. They couldn't go in with two new linebackers this season. You bring him back, team leader, team captain. You know you're going to get greatness on that side of the football. So love the contract. I love that he got a pretty much a bonus. He got a payday. He got a raise for what he did last season. The stats, we talked about it a ton. Some of his best stats since 2015, 2016 that cannot get overlooked. So we didn't want Lavonte to get overlooked either because there's been a lot of talk about Mike and Baker and understandably so. And then bringing in Jordan Whitehead. I know he's been on the team, but it's still kind of a new face because he hadn't been there in two seasons. But you're right, Adam. Lavonte David deserves his flowers, deserves all the credit and praise that he should be getting for being a huge, huge figure in the history of the Buccaneers. So
definitely.
Congrats once again to Lavonte David for coming back to the Bucs for yet another season. And speaking of legends and figures and just pure greatness, if you are buying a home, you want to work with great realtors, and there's nobody better than Eric Gross and the Eric Gross Group. Of course, Eric and his wife, Caitlin, a dynamic duo in the realty business. It takes a full team effort to win a football game, and it takes a full team effort to win in real estate. The Eric Gross Group has done hundreds of transactions in this crazy real estate market and has experience in all types of situations. Eric is an avid Pewter Report reader. We've had him on the show a couple of times and looking forward to getting him back on the podcast sooner rather than later. He's also a Tampa native whose father was stationed at the MacDill Air Force. He and his team have the market knowledge, top-notch communication, and commitment to excellent service that sets them apart. With their strong team of vendors and a network of over 85,000 agents, the Eric Gross Group will turn your dream of buying or selling a home into a reality. Their clients are not just transactions, they are lifelong friendships. Don't let the stress of buying or selling a home keep you out of the game. Let the Eric Gross Group take the pressure off. Find them on Facebook and Instagram at Eric Gross Group. Check out their website, housesinfla.com, or give them a call at 513-907-4271. One more time, that's housesinfla.com, and their number is 513-907-4271. No matter where you are on your home ownership journey, you'll feel welcome with the Eric Gross Group, the official realty group of PewterReport.com and the Pewter Report podcast. And once you're done checking out the Eric Gross Group, make sure you head back over to PewterReport.com and please follow us on all of our social media on X, Facebook, and Instagram. We are Pewter Report at Pewter Report, and our YouTube channel is Pewter Report TV. There you get the podcast four times a week, various videos from press conferences like yesterday with Baker Mayfield, stuff during the season. We do a lot of reaction videos, opinion pieces, a lot of great different stuff, awesome content on our YouTube channel, and more to come throughout the whole year, not just in football season. So please like and subscribe. Leave a comment after this episode is done. And we are getting very, very close to 14,000 followers. We want to get that Chris Godwin number. We are less
to Godwin.
Praise be to Godwin. We are about 30 followers away from getting to 13,500. So that would essentially put us, not essentially, it would put us halfway to 14,000. We'd love to get to that 13,500 by the end of the week. It is Thursday already. So if you can, if you're not already doing so, please subscribe to Pewter Report TV. It's absolutely free. Nothing else comes with it. It just gives you a closer direction to get straight to Pewter Report's YouTube channel. And with all the content that we put out, you never know what we're going to have, whether we do a live stream, things of that nature. We want to start doing that a little bit more. So please like and subscribe, leave a comment, and all that good stuff. Been a great week of free agency, a lot of excitement surrounding the Bucks. We'll see what they do next. Still a couple of pieces to add to this team. Who else will they re-sign? Will they bring in new faces? A lot of great stuff that we will talk about next week as well as we get closer to the NFL draft. That's going to do it for us on today's show. For Adam Slavon, I'm Matt Matera saying thanks everybody for watching. Have a great weekend. Happy St. Paddy's Day. Happy St. Paddy's Day to everybody celebrating. That's coming up on Sunday. Hope you enjoy it. Be safe. Have a great time. And we will see you all on Monday for another edition of the Pewter Report podcast. Enjoy a Guinness. Have a Guinness for me. Peace out.
Out. Oh.